Okay. Speaking of moving, let's go to the scriptures. You will hear me say for the next several months, turn in the book of Ephesians, because we're going to start a new sermon series in the book of Ephesians, because it's a great book. It's called the Queen of the Epistles. I don't know if you knew that, because of its content. And it's a book that's so focused on what is the church and what is our part in that. So here we go. On the conclusion of Vision Sunday, I want to say, just as we start, welcome to the church. Welcome to Trinity. Welcome to the body of Christ. We are part of the greatest movement on the planet today. We, Trinity Church, is sort of like a local franchise of a global enterprise. We're just one of thousands, millions of churches. We are a local franchise, Trinity. Shoreline to our west is another local franchise. First Friends over in Willoughby Hills is a local franchise. There are a whole bunch of local franchises, but all of us are part of a global historical enterprise that God has used for 2,000 years to shape people's lives and to change the world. And with the establishment of the Christian church, God has brought about a brand new community of people. A people set apart by God, a people called to be holy and humble and loving towards each other and in the face of a fractured world. Ephesians is a book that's going to tell us, help define what this new community, this new body is really about. So we're going to study this book. There's our title, one, because I want to show you a verse. This is why we're calling the series one. Look around the room for a minute. Look at everybody. Look at their ages. Ask them that. No, don't. Look how different we are. For 2,000 years, that has been the body of Christ. People of different ages, of different styles, of different everything, ethnic backgrounds, that come together to be one. And in many ways, this is sort of the capstone verse of the book of Ephesians. Count how many times I say the word one. There is one body. That's the global body. We're a local franchise of that one body. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. That one hope is in Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us. There's our differences. Grace was given to each one of us. Scott stands up here and is given the grace of understanding finances like nobody's business. When they start talking finances and I'm in a meeting, I end up saying, I can conjugate Greek verbs if anybody needs that. But grace is given to each one of us according to the way the Spirit wants it. But that's what makes the body one. And so for the next bunch of months, we're going to be picking apart the book of Ephesians to learn about our role, our part in the book of Ephesians in the body of Christ. In many ways, what Paul presents in Ephesians is this global community is reimagined of how God can be effective in the world through his people. God's covenant people, at the time of Jesus, the people of Israel had become sort of stuck in their legalistic restraints. They were the custodians of the law and entirely unable to keep the law. The people of Israel in Jesus' day were defined by exclusivity and discrimination. Those that were on the outside were considered unclean and unwelcome. And the people of God in Jesus' day had faced conflict and oppression after conflict and oppression. They were really worn down. And they were anything but a life-giving people. And then Jesus comes. And Jesus begins walking the streets of Israel, living life among his fellow Jews, and proclaiming and demonstrating a new way to live and a new kingdom. And as he's doing it among his friends and his fellow Jews, he's also facing all kinds of pushback. First of all, about the law. You're not keeping the law. Second of all, because of his propensity to hang out with unclean people. What are you doing hanging with those? Those are tax collectors and sinners. They even was asked a question about the oppressors, about Rome and about Caesar. And he came to do something new. He came to do something different, something freeing. He said, I'm going to build my church. The new society of God's covenant people. I am going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And Jesus paid for this new church with his blood. And Jesus empowered this new church, this new community, with his spirit. And for 2,000 years, the people of this covenant community have claimed the sacrifice of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to live out a new way for a society to see how God asks people to live. This is a new community based not on law, but on grace. This is a new community based not on divisions, but on unity. And this is a new community that is still doing battle, but not with cultures and people. It's doing battle spiritually with the devil himself. And this new community is called the church. And God is accomplishing his purposes through this community called the church. The book of Ephesians sort of describes like coming out of heaven. Here's this new community, this new society in the midst of the old society, the world that we live, that are here to make a difference for Christ. Here to display the kingdom of Christ and his ethics to a world where it seems completely foreign. I'm going to show you three things about this new one community as I do an overview of Ephesians for you. First of all, this new community is coming down. It's where grace comes down. The predominant feature of this new community is not law, it's not religion, it's not ritual or tradition. The predominant feature of this new community is grace. Unmerited favor. Nobody in the new community has earned their way there. Nobody in the new community are there because their parents were there, inherited it. It's all unmerited favor. It's all God's grace that's given as a free gift. Here's what Ephesians says. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood. Think of the cross. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Not your own doing. Not pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. Totally a gift of God. Not by works. So that nobody can boast. Folks, we are all a people of grace. That's what makes the Christian church unique to any other religion in all of history. All the other religions, as nice as they might be, as good as they might be, are all about this is what you have to do. Christianity comes along because of grace and adds two letters to the word do, N and E. It's done. It's done. And all you have to do is say. Philip Yancey wrote a great book called What's So Amazing About Grace? If you haven't read it, you ought to. Here's what he says. Grace does not depend on what we have done for God, but rather for what God has done for us. Ask people what they must do to get to heaven, and most reply, be good. Jesus' stories contradict that answer. All we must do is cry. This is a new community, not based on law, but based on grace. Once Jesus was walking around and he saw a number of religious leaders there in a circle, and in the middle of the circle, there was a woman there, and she was caught in adultery. And they were going to fulfill the law. They had their stones ready, and they were going to stone her. The Lord of grace walks up and says, wait. Toss the first stone. And one by one, they dropped the stone and walked away. And then Jesus, with the most gracious and loving eyes, look at her. Your accusers are gone. I don't condemn you either. Don't sin anymore. Oh. That's grace. Jesus was the inaugural Lord of this new community of grace. You see how different it is from a community of law? We're just a bunch of desperate people who don't know what to do, so we cry, help! And Christ, by his cross, gives us that. Grace for the spiritually desperate. Grace for every one of us that we simply receive by faith. The community of the church is merely a community of grace. Grace came down. The second thing in this new community, it's where the walls come. Paul's going to talk about a dividing wall between two people, the Jewish people and the Gentile people, the rest of the world. And he might be referring to a four-foot barrier outside the temple, a barrier that was the barrier between the outer court and the inner court of the temple. The Gentiles were only allowed in the outer court. The Jewish people were allowed in the inner court. It's sort of like there would have been a sign there, Gentiles keep out. Actually, there was a sign there in the day that said, no foreigner is to enter this sacred precinct. Whoever is caught will be responsible for his own consequential death. A wall. Paul takes the idea of that wall and turns it, I think, into a metaphor of that which divides different people. In his context, again, Jews and Gentiles, but it could be any today, Boy, we got plenty. I just want to read this to you. When we get to that passage in our series, we'll tear that one apart, but I want you to hear it. Christ himself was our peace, who has made us both, Jew and Gentile, people on both sides of the wall, made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two. Aren't two bodies? There's one. You don't have a Jewish church and a Gentile. No, there's one. One. So that if you went anywhere in the world today and you walked into a Christian fellowship, you're one with them. There's one body. Making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body. What's the reference point? What's the common point? Through the cross. Despite all of our differences, whatever they are, the cross transcends those differences. And we read our differences through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And Jesus came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So that you're no, now he's talking to those that are on the other side of the wall. You're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household. You're all the same. There's no second class citizens. And so if you're a charter member of Trinity, or if you're brand new this week, there's no second class citizens. There's no wall of hostility. We're all one body. The walls have come. Beautiful pictures. And that division sort of still exists today. Gotta show you. This is from C.S. Lewis. Sorry, right there. He says, it takes all sorts to make a world or a church. This may be even truer of a church. If grace perfects nature, it must expand all our natures into the full richness of the diversity which God intended when he made them. Heaven will display far more variety than hell will. God loves the differences. He made them. And as long as the cross of Jesus Christ is the picture that transcends those differences, we can be one. Jesus was walking one day in a town, an area called Samaria. Now, Jesus was a Jew, and the Samaritans weren't supposed to go to Samaria because there was a huge wall of animosity between the two. It would be sort of like somebody from Columbus, an Ohio State Buckeye fan, walking into Ann Arbor. Jesus' disciples were with him, but they went off to get some falafel. They were hungry. They were going for lunch. Jesus sees a Samaritan woman there. He starts a conversation with her. Whoa! Not only because he's a man and a woman in that culture, but he's a Jewish man and she's a Samaritan woman. He's a Buckeye and she's a whatever Michigan is. Sorry. And he starts talking. And he starts talking to her. And he starts talking lovingly to her. And she even says, why are you talking to me? As they have the conversation, he offers her, a Samaritan woman, living water. If she would only knew that he was Messiah and ask him, he would give her living water. She's not a Jew, she says. No, just ask. The disciples come and, what are you doing? You know, you would have thought Jesus had a blue sweatshirt on now. They didn't get it. The wall comes down. That's what this new community is. The wall comes down. There is no second-class citizens in the new community of Jesus Christ. Might be out there in the world, but not in here. We have the religious, we have the irreligious. We have the immoral, we have the goody two-shoes, and grace comes through. Okay, one more. This new community, grace comes down. This new community, the walls come down. And this new community is where the fists come down. Fists? God's covenant people were always in one conflict or another. The Old Testament is filled with Israel fighting skirmishes and fighting wars and being attacked and attacked again. You have a Syrian king in 156 BC actually goes into the temple and sacrifices a pig, and in this desecration of the temple, worships Zeus again and again. These people were in conflict, perpetual conflict. Now hear me say this. Ephesians is going to be really clear here. The new community is no different. We will still forever have conflict. But the battle is not with armies or governments or even culture. The battle is a spiritual one. How he begins to wind down the letter. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole army of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of your culture. Of your government. No. The devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And these are all spiritual here, by the way. But against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly place. Fists go down. It's a spiritual. Prayers go. Holy Spirit power goes down, but fists go down. And you know, from the first century all the way to the 21st century, the Crusades are a perfect example of this. The Christian church had a hard time getting. So a guard comes to arrest Jesus, and Peter takes out his sword, lops off his ear. Jesus said, would you cut it out? Get rid of your sword. And he heals the guy's ear. James and John in one of the Gospels, they come to Jesus and basically, I'm paraphrasing, they say, let's nuke Rome. No. Jesus corrects them and says, no, I'm gonna continue and I'm going to head all the way to Jerusalem. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to die for the Romans that you so much hate. Oh. This down. Prayers up. It's a spiritual, it's a real spiritual battle, but it's a spiritual battle. And at this tribal moment in our society today, where we all belong to different, it's good to remind ourselves that Christ himself would come and wash the feet of our enemies, of our political enemies. Fists down. Prayers up. Spiritual power up. Dan White is a pastor in Syracuse, New York. He's written a few books. One book called Love Over Fear. I want you to hear these words because they're really, really poignant. When you live in culture war mode, that's fists up mode. When you live in culture war mode, there is always a battle to fight, a side to take, and people to fear. When you live in God's kingdom, that's this new community, the body of Christ. When you live in God's kingdom, there's always a stranger to welcome, a neighbor to befriend, and an enemy to love. That is the new community. Can I just say what a privilege it is to lead the body of Christ in the 21st century. We are one body. And as ideal as it is, it sounds, in the trenches, we all know it's not. We all have our opinions and our ideas and our sins, and I'm the leader of them, and we all do it. And yet, if and when we lean into the purposes of God, beautiful things can happen, even amidst cockamamie people like us. That's the beauty of the church. And so I begin the book of Ephesians by reading the opening words of the letter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we go. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we never could have come up with the church. We would have come up with a list of rules and a bunch of things to follow. And thank you that you came through the blood of Christ and developed a community that's based on grace, that's torn down walls, that's meant to permeate its community and its culture amidst the spiritual battle that it finds itself. Thank you that you have given us not only the model of Christ, but the resources of Christ and his Spirit to accomplish what you've called us to do as a body globally, as a body locally, and as individual followers of Christ. Thank you that you've given us the resources to be Christ's hands and feet right here, right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.